Smile makers continue to raise the bar when it comes to dentistry. People are coming from all over to get a same-day smile. You heard me. You can get a complete smile makeover in one day. Whether it's the result of bad genetics, a bad decision, or just some bad luck, missing teeth can keep you from enjoying the life you deserve. At Smile Makers, you have options. Not only do they perform same-day smiles, but they also offer life-changing dental implants. When you're in need of complex dental work, I recommend the doctors at Smile Makers in Montgomery. Folks, experience and technology matter. Give Smile Makers a call today for a free consultation or a second opinion. 334-269-8086. That's 334-269-8086. Online at smilemakersal.com. And tell them Dave sent you.
Attention Montgomery, Prattville, and surrounding areas. If you're interested in the deal of a lifetime, don't miss this special event. Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Montgomery and Prattville must sell 100 new cars by Wednesday, February 28th, or it will literally cost us thousands of dollars. All reasonable offers must be accepted. All trade-ins are welcome in any condition. Scratch, ding, or dented, we'll take it during Ram Truck Month. Get up to $15,000 off every new 2017 Ram 1500 in stock. Plus, with a job, bringing home $350 weekly. Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Montgomery and Prattville can get almost anyone approved. All trade-ins are welcome. Quick, easy credit approval. Up to $15,000 off every new 2017 Ram 1500 in stock this week at Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery and Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville or online at Brubaker.com.
I'm Dick Brubaker and I approve this ad.
On select new 2017 in stock Ram 1500, all rebates and incentives to dealer negative equity may be applied to new loan offers.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus better business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
Chili's wants to know, when was the last time you had a great lunch?
When was the last time you had a great lunch?
Oh, and we're singing too.
We go way back, baby, back with our singing.
Yeah, we do, but lunch is our thing too.
We've got 10 lunches for just $7.
Burgers, quesadillas, just $7 for lunch.
Just $7 for 10 awesome lunches.
It's even better when you say it that way.
It's pretty much the same thing, but I flipped it. Chili's is back, baby, back, baby, back.
With lunch for $7.
Or take Chili's lunch to go, baby, go, baby, go.
Available at participating restaurants only. Prices may vary in Hawaii. Not available in Alaska and Canada.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Start the spring season right with big lawn and garden savings at Ace. Now through Monday only. Get our coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's 25% savings on great products from Scotts, Miracle-Gro, Roundup, Ortho, and more throughout the store. Hurry in now to get 25% savings only at your local Ace. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Capital City Ace Hardware. When it comes to hardware for your home, Ace is the place. 3215 Taylor Road next to Applebee's.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks. Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We could still break another couple of records before this week is over. For tonight, partly cloudy, very mild, overnight low 62. Tomorrow, another day in the low 80s. That's close to the record. Partial sunshine, rain chances minimal tomorrow, but not zero. Saturday, high temperature around 80, slight chance of a shower during the day. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms Saturday night, and showers and storms becoming likely Sunday as a front moves into the area. This is Severe Weather Awareness Week in Alabama. Before we get busy, get our weather app on your phone and be ready for push notifications for watches and warnings, plus current conditions, 10-day forecasts, hourly forecasts, and more. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We- we get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Welcome to it. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour. This is a song I was playing Saturday.
Ever feel kind of down and out, you don't know just what to do.
Gil Scott Heron.
I'm digging that, man. That's cool.
Yeah.
Song is Lady Day and John Coltrane.
And if you don't get a help quick, you won't make it through the day. Or could you call on Lady Day? Could you call on John Coltrane? Now, cause they'll watch your troubles, your troubles, your troubles, your troubles away.
Yeah.
That's where it's at, man.
Some say he's like a proto-rapper. Like, that's all his own band. It's his original band. And he wanted to call himself I'm a Poet, because he sings a little bit and does sort of the talk sing thing. But Gil Scott Heron, somebody turned me on to Brandon, who's been on the show once, works on Yo 100.5. He hit me to Gil Scott Heron and great stuff. And on the show tonight, I'm being rude, is Seth Spotlow. Hey, Seth, what's up?
Man.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
So how you doing?
I'm hanging in there, man. I made it.
Yeah.
I made it. Pawned my kid off on some grandparents.
Right, right. How is Rose?
She's great. She was so happy to see me. On the way over here, I gave her a juice, and it was blue, and I didn't think about it. And she drank the whole thing, and I looked back there, and I saw something blue in her mouth. And I'm driving down the interstate, open your mouth, open your mouth. I'm trying to stick my finger in her mouth. Then I figured out it was her tongue.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It just stains everything.
I know. I thought she was sucking on something. I was like, oh.
Do they still do the Sunny D? The kids like the Sunny D?
Oh, she
days?
Loves it, man.
What about a Capri Sun?
Oh, yeah. She's all about it. High C's in the box.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to turn her on to Tang.
Tang?
I love Tang.
Yeah. I admit, especially on the right occasion, I'll eat a Lunchable.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
Pizzas.
Oh. Well, and some fancy companies are getting into the Lunchable game.
Like who?
Boar's Head.
Really?
They have a snack pack, they call it. That's like high-quality cheese and meats and crackers and... It's a little more expensive than your run-of-the-mill Lunchable, but it's damn good.
Hey, you pay for what you get.
Yeah. I mean, and when you go a day, you know, kayaking on the Coosa, go float the Coosa, have a few beers in the inflatable cooler. That's what my roommate has. We can fit some beer in there, fit a bunch of Lunchables. Then you can wrap it and seal it and lock it. It'll float. Oh, it's watertight.
I've done it a bunch.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great day.
Yeah.
And we're getting into that. I think next week it's still going to be freezing.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Don't get used to it.
Yeah, it's insane.
I'm fixing to shave my beard, man.
Yeah.
I face sweat this week.
I'm not. I'm going to let it keep going.
Yeah.
I've gotten too many compliments.
Yeah, go for it, man. Next time, I almost did it today, but I didn't have enough time.
Yeah, we were talking about that last time. I think it's going to freak me out seeing you without a beard.
Oh, man, there's a pretty young man under this mug.
Mm-hmm. I'll let others be the judge of that.
Yeah, but then people run over me.
Well, I mean, just on both counts, though. The prettiness, the attractiveness, and the youth. I'm going to let others be the judge.
You'll see me and be like, who is that?
Well, and you know, you've been on the show. I usually do these silly stream of consciousness shows. We talk about whatever, but on my mind today are serious issues.
Cool, man. I'll try to hang in there with you.
Because, I'm watching this aftermath of the Parkland shooting, and it's what I expect. It's what I've come to expect in terms of the arguments people present, and I tend to be very staunch. I don't own a gun. I'm not a big gun guy. I have been taught how to shoot guns and, go out into the woods, shoot your .22s when you're real young, start shooting shotguns and, you know, shooting skeet. And I killed a squirrel one day.
Cool.
And, you know, it was like that squirrel had it coming. That's what you get for getting in my way when I have a shotgun.
There's enough of them.
All right. And, you know, I've been deer hunting a few times, but it's never been like you come back with any meat. It's been more just sitting in the woods early in the morning, which is fine.
But that's peaceful. Nice. One with nature.
Yeah, maybe I'll go turkey hunting one day. Anyway, my point is I'm not scared of guns. I respect them for what they can do, and I've been taught how to use them, but I have never felt the need to go buy my own, like for a concealed carry or for a shotgun at the house. We do, for those listening who are wondering, we do have guns at the house, so don't show up expecting us not to be armed. But I personally don't own a weapon. That said, I am very staunchly for the Second Amendment for all sorts of reasons. And when I just look at the conversation, it's what we've come to expect, like I said before. Essentially, people, some say, let's do a few compromised positions, you know, a more thorough background check or waiting period. What you find in some media places reporting this, it wouldn't have prevented the shooting, most likely. And that's with Sandy Hook, with the theater shooting in Colorado, with Loeffner and Gabby Giffords, with the Pulse nightclub, with all the shootings we've had. Most of the reforms put forward would not have prevented the shootings, whether you're talking Dianne Feinstein after Sandy Hook admitting that on the Senate floor, what I'm proposing wouldn't have stopped Sandy Hook because the kid had a .22. He takes his .22 and he shoots his mom dead while she's sleeping, then steals her Bushmaster AR-15, and that's what he kills all those kids with at Sandy Hook.
It'd help a little bit, but it's not going to...
Right. I mean, how do you prevent that? And, I mean, the mom should not have had weapons around this kid. And this is what I mean by it has to be not just common sense. Don't even think of the law. Like, common sense and looking out for the people around you. I mean, and here's my point, is if somebody is very despairing, very depressed, that's one thing. And you help those folks the best you can. But if they're despairing and very depressed, and they're expressing violent sentiments, whether towards themselves or the world in general, when they start saying things explicitly about shooting, take it seriously.
Yeah, you kind of have to nowadays, because if you don't, this is what happens. It's like the girl in Vermont that said something to her about her buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, at least she said something.
Yeah, and a lot of people said something about this kid in Parkland, Florida, and nobody managed to do enough. But he had assaulted all sorts of people. He had made material threats against people. I'm not sure what is... And another thing I want to make clear, when I talk about, and at least when I'm talking about it, mental health, I don't mean just something you're diagnosed with by an expert in the field of psychology or psychiatry. I mean general problems that I think have afflicted the human race time immemorial since the beginning.
And there's a lot of times when people don't get diagnosed with anything, and you don't know.
Right, but evil is real. Malevolence is a real thing in the world, and so people who were, you know, living thousands of years ago were dealing with the same thing, maybe not the same technology, but the same reality of why do evil people, for almost no good reason, do these terrible, destructive things, not just to themselves, but to others. I mean, that's a long question that has troubled people.
It's going to forever.
Well, and there's he's up there in history, especially in the Catholic Church, Thomas Aquinas. He, at one point, and he wrote a lot, but he points out that any government that tries to get rid of all sin and suffering and vice in this world will probably create more of it. That, yes, it's one thing to have compassion, but compassion doesn't get you all the way there. When people say love is a virtue, yes, it is, and it might even be the most important virtue. But it needs to be balanced by other understandings and other virtues. And, you know, it's also in these occasions you get people saying, "Oh, we're Donald Trump is Hitler. Now let's have the government heavily regulate gun use." And it doesn't sound like a lot of mainstream Democrats necessarily calling for banning things. Some are. But this is the issue. There's a lot on the left that would like to ban guns and take away guns. There are others that are going to go for the possible, politics being the art of the possible. They're going to go for more background checks, maybe closing what is the so-called gun show loophole, which is really just, if I own a weapon, I could sell it to you. It could be a person-to-person sale. But all this stuff, I think, leads to hyperbole. Trump's the new Hitler, or Obama is the new fascist or commie, and why he's Mao, he's Stalin, he's even Lenin. And all these like threats of America's become too decadent, and we're, the country's too overwrought. We have too many obligations overseas, too many obligations here domestically. We're in mountains of debt. What's the new tyranny on the horizon? That never again, right? But my point of view is it's not if tyranny or a terrible state comes to the United States. It's probably happening now. We don't even see it. And it's not going to be like, oh, Hitler took over or Mao took over. It's not even going to be like Putin or the Communist Party in China or anything like this. It's going to be a unique American form of what one famous writer called soft despotism. And I want to read something for you, Seth. It's a quote from this writer. You might have heard of him. Alexis de Tocqueville?
Nah. Shoot me, though.
Father of democracy. He lied, I believe, to his French benefactors who paid his way to come to America. And he said, I want to review the prison system of the United States. He was this rich French aristocrat. And instead of actually going to all the prisons in the states, he might have gone to a few. What he did is he studied all the towns in the United States. And this is in the 1800s. So it's right after the independence of the United States. Still very early in the Republic. And he sees, why does democracy work? And in a nutshell, to take a very complicated topic, why is it working in the U.S. as opposed to, say, the French Revolution, where you got chaos and beheadings and a new emperor coming in? Why did it work in America? He says, well, there was a quality of conditions. A lot of people had the same, like, type of life. They're farmers for the most part, or maybe you're an artisan of some sort. But it's also the way people view the world. You might have different Christian denominations, but generally the way you structure your society is about the same in Maryland as it is in Virginia, as it is in New York. There is a common culture. So it's a quality. And democracy works, he says, when it's very local. So you're not talking millions of people, let alone hundreds of thousands. You're talking like a Montgomery or Wetumpka, really. And even Montgomery stretching how big I think Tocqueville had in mind. But local, voluntary. So a lot of the stuff the government, through the democratic process, says we're going to do, probably would have gotten done anyway voluntarily. And the government's like an official stamp. And then it needs to be infused with the spirit of religion or hope. And so Tocqueville's like, okay, Americans are incredibly hopeful, religious, compassionate people. They look out for one another. They have a lot of voluntary associations and organizations looking out for their fellow man. And this is why it works in the United States. But he warns, could tyranny ever come to a country like this? And this is the quote. He imagines this type of tyranny. It's not Hitler. It's not Mao. It's not Stalin. It's not even North Korea or China. It's not Russia. It is unique. And I'm going to read and see if you think this has maybe come to pass. Quote, above this race of men stands an immense and tutelary power, which takes upon itself alone to secure their gratifications and to watch over their fate. That power is absolute, minute, regular, provident, and mild. It would be like the authority of a parent if, like that authority, its object was to prepare men for manhood. But it seeks, on the contrary, to keep them in perpetual childhood. It is well content that the people should rejoice, provided that they think of nothing but rejoicing. For their happiness, such a government willingly labors, but it chooses to be the sole agent and the only arbiter of that happiness. It provides for their security, foresees and supplies their necessities, facilitates their pleasures, manages their principal concerns, directs their industry, regulates the descent of property, and subdivides their inheritances. What remains but to spare them all the care of thinking and all the trouble of living? Thus, it every day renders the exercise of the free agency of man less useful and less frequent. It circumscribes the will within a narrower range and gradually robs a man of all the uses of himself. The principle of equality has prepared men for these things. It has predisposed men to endure them and often look on them as benefits. After having thus successfully taken each member of the community in its powerful grasp and fashioned him at will, the supreme power then extends its arm over the whole community. It covers the surface of society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform, through which the most original minds and the most energetic characters cannot penetrate to rise above the crowd. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. Men are seldom forced by it to act, but they are constantly restrained from acting. Such a power does not destroy, but it prevents existence. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, extinguishes, and stupefies a people, till each nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals of which the government is the shepherd.
Wow. Turns into a bunch of sheep. You know what makes me think of? Fight Club.
Mm. The all-seeing, all-knowing crap of the world.
Yeah, it makes me think of Fight Club. I mean, because he created him because he was in that every day.
I've got to get the new coffee table. Yeah. I've got to get the the lighting fixtures with the little bubbles in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me think of. And where it minimalizes everything. It gives you this absolute. It makes you think you have the absolute power, but it's really the smallest little bit over here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes you think you have something, but you really don't.
Yeah, and then, gives you all these, I would say, shallow choices.
Yeah, and not everybody wants that. I mean, I could see how a lot of people would.
Well, and what I worry about is, okay, if that is going on, do people turn to something like Fight Club?
Yes, exactly. They're creating a monster.
Right.
And it's not the 90% you got to worry about that are doing what they want or that what you want. It's that other 10% that is thinking for themselves. And out of that 10%, it's that 2% that are in the corner with the 10%, mm-hmm. not with the other 8, you know.
Right, and it can be even smaller numbers than that that can cause a big problem.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's...
Well, and I just, so I look at the situation domestically, and I see that's, I thought of that quote I just read when I was flying into D.C. 2 years ago, that seeing the sprawling, not the suburbia around D.C. and Arlington, Virginia, but the, once you get to the heart of the city and you're on the plane, you can see the sprawling bureaucracy underneath you. All set up, I suppose, with good intentions to provide people safety and their necessities, security and comfort. I get it. This is all coming from a, you know, desire for equality. It's coming from a point of view of being compassionate and helping people who are struggling. But I worry if that's our drive, we will continue to restrain the intrepid and, dare I say, people who would brave danger. And maybe those people will still exist, but they won't be celebrated. What's interesting to me is after the shooting in Parkland, after any shooting like this, people go on all these tangents. Maybe it's the violent video games and movies that we watch. Never mind that, you know, people have gone to violent events for centuries, not millennia. All the way back to Rome with mm-hmm. the lions and the Colosseum to a few decades ago, people might have gone to a hanging.
Yeah.
Or people might have set up picnic baskets to watch a Civil War battle. I mean, people, for some reason, and that's a difficult question to answer. I don't want to do it all tonight. But there's something that we find entertaining about violence. And there's, it's almost a spectacle.
Something different.
So then you see people say, oh, we're desensitized to this type of violence. That's why they bring up the video games and the violent movies. And my immediate thought is, I have not yet seen one person, maybe I'm not looking hard enough, but most of the people reacting to this shooting or anything like it are not desensitized. They're either very emotional or just almost speechless. What do you say in the face of something so evil? And it is really an ultimate tragedy. What would we say is, what could be the ultimate tragedy? It would be the most innocent person you can think of suffering the worst possible fate. Now, there might be things worse than being killed, but when you think of a kid, 19-year-old young man, who turns on other kids, it's very tragic. It fits that bill of the most innocent suffering the worst fate.
And it's even on the other hand with the kids that were around what was happening, and they saw that happen to their friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible on everybody's level.
Well, and, you know, that's why I'm not... With a lot of these kids talking now at these town halls, part of me wants to understand they're coming from it from a firsthand experience, and it's still fresh in the mind. They want to do something to where that sort of tragic thing never happens again. Again, great sentiment, but are we really, even if we confiscated all AR-15s, which isn't going to happen, but if that happened, I still think incredibly evil, tragic things would happen. And I worry that instead of running to the government or our elected officials to do something, we need to be looking to actual common sense solutions that aren't necessarily policy. Some might be changing in the law, but I think more of it is we need to recognize life is getting better, generally. There are less deaths, less war, less poverty, more options to life and how we can fashion our lives, yet... I say that if you, you know, look at the news now, Seth, what would you, do you think people are happy?
As long as you don't look at the news.
That's what I mean.
You watch the news and they're selling you some sad stuff besides a puppy, you know, and
right.
It's in general. Yeah. Everybody's happier. And then those families that you see, like the one with the 13 kids that were locked in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's somewhere you would expect this kid to come from.
Right.
You know, I mean, personally, I think it comes from mom and dad. I mean...
Well, he's adopted, number one.
How did they treat him? I mean...
Well, and the adoptive father died like 10 years ago.
Mm.
The mother died... in November of last year.
Oh, that's terrible.
The adoptive mother. So I can't even... I'll put it this way. This guy fits the bill for somebody who's not only, I think, has some social issues. Like, he's just socially combative. You're hearing that from students that went to school with him, fellow classmates. But it also sounds like he's going through the most tragic thing himself. Like, not only do I not know who my real parents are... My adoptive parents have just died.
And I'm telling everybody, hey, I need help. I'm screaming for help from everybody, and nobody's listening to him.
Right. And they don't know how to deal with him. Until he... Well, and again, that's where I don't like just saying, oh, he's just crazy. It's kind of like when people talk about Hitler. Oh, he's just crazy. Yeah, this shooter and Hitler are crazy, I think, by definition. But let's not say crazy as an excuse of... Nobody could ever be like that. Like, it's something so foreign to the 90%. I think anybody put in a terrible enough situation has the potential, it might not necessarily do it, but they have the potential to do awful, evil things. And so let's look at evil as something very real in the world that we should strive to understand, because it'll then be easier to combat, rather than sort of stigmatizing evil with bumper stickers. And then I worry that if that's our approach, when somebody actually evil comes around, we're all shocked and don't know how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Desensitized to it, so when he really does show up, you don't know what to do.
Well, it's not even desensitized. You're not even acclimated with real evil at all. You've never faced it. You're literally innocent in that regard. You've never actually sat across or been in the midst of somebody who you realize there's no reasoning with them. They're going to try to destroy me. It's a terrible place to be. And so I look at, you know, this threat of soft despotism here at home, And I think a lot of that's happening because tragic events happen, whether it's a mass shooting or a foreign attack or whatever it is, all the troubles of life. Like, I don't have a well-paying enough job, or I don't have a job at all, or the culture's changing, and I don't like how the culture's changing, or I want to change the culture, and it's not changing enough. And, there's too much suffering. I want to get rid of it. I think if we continue to turn to political control and power, number one, we're not really going to solve those problems everybody's worried about. Number two, we're going to create a much worse problem nobody's actually seeing coming.
Yeah, there's going to be something worse besides what is already happening.
Man.
And you're just never going to see it coming.
See, but I don't want to do a show like this every night. Because it's not a happy-go-lucky topic.
It's so sad.
But my honest opinion of politics these days is, I'm following what's going on. Robert Mueller indicted Paul Manafort again and Gates. And mostly it's bank fraud and money laundering and false tax information that Manafort put forward. Didn't register that he was working for Russian interest in the Ukrainian government at the time. All this stuff. Okay, interesting. As Jeff Sessions and the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, Michael Horowitz, actually investigating leaks and past FBI investigations, people who think weren't on the up and up. Is that all going on? Okay, that's interesting. Tax reform. It was, I think, a win, but it didn't go far enough in my mind. But when my honest take of politics is more the broad strokes, is that are we forgetting or failing to recreate who we are on the level of virtue, on the level of looking after each other as individuals in a larger community? And as far as I can tell, national politics in particular is only dividing us more and more. Where there are great ways to compromise and get to know ourselves better, people instead go for the soundbite and for the fundraising letter. And it's very difficult to have a conversation with somebody like how we're having one now. Or I'm more lecturing, I apologize.
Oh, no, you're
I'm
good,
filibustering
man.
Here. But it's difficult to have a conversation with somebody when you know in the back of your mind that person's trying to screw you over. Maybe the best analog is like it's a marriage with a divorce waiting to happen, or a bad breakup, or you know what I'm talking about, folks.
Well, I go to somewhere and I see somebody that I've never met in my entire life, and you think that you see them and you know in the back of their head they have that, the divorce in the back of their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I take it in my hands to be like, no, it isn't. You don't know. So let's talk about this, and maybe I can sway you to think it doesn't necessarily suck that bad. And people don't suck as bad as you think they
right.
do. It's so many pessimistic and not enough optimism.
Right.
I mean, people can be a little happy because I'm a friendly guy. I'm never meet somebody that's not a friend.
But you know, I mean, I'm sure you've been through it. You get to some point in your life, you're so twisted for whatever reason that you can't even see a better horizon.
Yeah, it's terrible. About every other week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why I don't do shows like this every night, because sometimes I like to have fun. And that's why I listen to songs like, Lady Day and John Coltrane. So that is... Well, the first song of the day coming back will be, I'll tell you when we come back. But for now, we're having a serious radio hour. You're listening to the Joey Clark Radio Hour alongside me, Seth Spotlow. So sit on back and enjoy the music for now.
Joey Clark.
Away.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's Ram Truck Month, and hard work is about to get a lot easier thanks to the great deals being offered right now. Like $9,750 in total values on the 2017 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab when financed. Go to ramtrucks.com to find your local Ram dealer, find more great deals on the full line of Ram trucks, and check out the tremendous payload and towing power of Ram 1500. When it comes to being more productive, avoid unnecessary downtime with Ram 1500's impressive 27 highway miles per gallon. Go to ramtrucks.com to find your local Ram dealer and get $9,750 in total values on the 2017 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab when financed. Long live the truck that goes above and beyond. Hurry in for great deals during Ram Truck Month. EPA estimated MPG with 3-liter EcoDiesel engine and 8-speed automatic transmission 4x2 model. Actual mileage may vary. Total values include combined cash allowance at $3,000 Bighorn package value. Financing for all qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery from dealer stock by 2/28.
He raised me, two dogs, and most of the neighborhood. Dad's my hero. So when it was my turn to care for him, I was thankful Kindred was there to help.
If you have questions about home health, hospice, or care after a hospital stay, call 1-866-KINDRED, and a registered nurse can walk you through care options and locations that best fit your needs. Kindred Services can provide you with nursing visits, medication management, and more, all in the comfort of home. See how Kindred can help. Call 1-866-KINDRED.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. Creating a stylish, relaxing outdoor retreat for friends and family to enjoy time together can increase the appeal and value of your home. My friends at Southern Homes and Gardens offer many options for outdoor furniture in styles and prices for all budgets. In fact, Southern Homes and Gardens has the largest selection of quality outdoor furniture in the region. I'm talking about handcrafted furniture with rust-free, UV-resistant materials that are durable and timeless designs made to withstand the elements for years. Don't waste your hard-earned money on what's perceived as the lowest price in town, as it will end up costing you more in the long run. Quality outdoor furniture is a smart investment that not only enhances your home's value and curb appeal, but it will give you and your family years of enjoyment. Call 334-387-0440 or southernhomesandgardens.com.
Well, hi there.
Hi, I'm Jenny, your new next-door neighbor.
I'm Jody. Come on in, have a cup of coffee, and meet my four kids and two dogs.
Wow, your house is beautiful. How in the world do you keep it so neat with all this activity?
I'll tell you my secret. Baby gates. And I use Southern Bell's cleaning service. They are easy to deal with. I love a small company. I've got their card in my purse. See? 546-0715. The kids love their Aunt Callen, and I'm their biggest fan on Facebook.
Southern Bell's Cleaning, a locally owned cleaning service that does cleaning the old-fashioned way. They're on time. They bring all of their own supplies, and they really know clean. Estimates are always free. Call Southern Bell's Cleaning today. Full-service residential, commercial, post-construction cleanup, and vacant properties. Southern Bell's Cleaning Service. Call 546-0715 or on Facebook at Southern Bell's Cleaning River Region.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday at 11 a.m. to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you. That's every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by Wiley Sanders Trucking. Now offering a $1,000 sign-on bonus, great driver's pay package, and quarterly safe driving awards. Apply now at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We could still break another couple of records before this week is over. For tonight, partly cloudy, very mild, overnight low 62. Tomorrow, another day in the low 80s. That's close to the record. Partial sunshine, rain chances minimal tomorrow, but not zero. Saturday, high temperature around 80. Slight chance of a shower during the day. Then scattered showers and thunderstorms Saturday night. And showers and storms becoming likely Sunday as a front moves into the area. This is Severe Weather Awareness Week in Alabama. Before we get busy, get our weather app on your phone and be ready for push notifications for watches and warnings, plus current conditions, 10-day forecasts, hourly forecasts, and more. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
In intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm in my bed with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Joey Clark.
Oh, welcome back. Roberta Flack. This is some great Sunday listening music. I picked it up this weekend.
I'm digging it, man.
It's relaxing.
I heard he
we need it.
Yeah. Now, most folks might know the Lauryn Hill version of this, which is damn good, but I like this original Roberta Flack version. It's good stuff.
Yeah, way better.
Well, and apparently we've been too heavy, so Marianne's called in to lighten the mood up.
Fantastic.
I mean, I can't avoid talking politics all the time, though. Sometimes I have to tell the truth, what's on my mind and in my heart. But Marianne, what's up?
Hey, good evening, you two gentlemen. How are y'all today?
Good. How are you?
Hey, it's not a bad day. We did have some sunshine. We got some warm weather. I got shorts on. You know, makes you look forward to the summertime.
Well, it's not a bad day at all, but, you know, sometimes a good day is a good time for serious issues.
Well, that is too. But then, you know, it's like on the Sunday morning shows I've listened to the last couple of weekends, what Don Huntsman said, tough times don't last, but tough people do.
Got that right.
You know? But in the meantime, the reason I called is because, Seth, you're here tonight, and you're a father of a daughter, and I'm a single parent of a son, you know. And, Joey, you went to school with my son.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm going to give you a funny story about school time.
Okay.
If you could come up with some, too. I'm going to take you, I'm going to sound like the Golden Girls, you know. Picture this. 19, but I'll go back to 2004. Okay.
Okay.
And you know how the halls of that school is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's payphone in it. And my son, he called me at an unusual time from that payphone. I used that payphone one time, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is that he called, and he's like about noontime, okay? And I'm like, I'm alerted at work. You know, I'm like, okay, this is an emergency. Okay, what's going on? Because we didn't have cell phones back then.
Right.
And I think the phone call was up to a quarter. It was a dime when I was there. But, you know, I'm like, okay, Mike, you okay? And he's like, yeah, Mom, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, what's going on? You know, he said, well, Mom, he said, when you get off this afternoon, when you come home, would you bring me some Nerds? And I stopped for a whole second because I was busy as all get out at work. I was
mm-hmm.
like, Mike, I know I went to school there, too, and I know back in my time that they were there. They might be dressed differently today, you know, but don't you have some of those walking down the hall?
Oh. No, he wants the Wonka candy. Come on, Mom.
Nerds.
He's like, Mom, it's candy.
Yeah.
I went, oh, okay.
Wait, did you get him his pack of Nerds?
Yes, I did.
Seth,
let me tell you something. Let me give you a piece of a little single parent advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dropping off the child at school or if you're picking the child up, and Joey, even if you're a married parent, this works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is an awful thing to say. What I did when Mike started school was I turned the radio off in the car. And when I did, I would ask him a simple question. I would ask him, like, okay, well, who'd you sit next to today in reading class? And he'd be like, well, you know, I sat next to Abby. I'm like, okay, who'd you play with at recess? Oh, I played with Matt. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, and after
you're
you do a couple of questions, they start to tell you who got in trouble that day, who was absent, who went to the principal's office. Beth, I'm telling you, make notes here, son.
Oh, I am. I am. I talk to her. She can't talk back, but I try.
You got
to
get the dirt.
Yeah, but guess what? She will. Once she learns the word no and don't.
She's got that. No, no.
So I'm just saying, and to this day, Joey, in all honesty, when it's just Mike and me in the car and the grandkids, his wife is not there, he turns the radio off.
You
even in junior high, when he went to junior, when he went to Catholic, I turned the radio on. But he would turn it off, and he would tell me about football practice, and he would, and Joey, you know that 3D, that three CD player thing that was brought in with the speakers, the sound system.
Yeah,
that was my Christmas present from him one year.
Wow.
And he was like, "Mom, could we?" I'm like, "Yeah, go ahead and take it. You know, it's all right with me." So, I mean, you do things like that, but when you talk, you know, when you talk to the kids, please have some kind of sense of humor while you're doing it.
Yeah, and just keep tabs on them. Be interested in their lives, what's going
involved.
On.
Oh, it's not just that, but when you laugh, you take a deep breath, and everybody needs to do that every once in a while.
Oh, and it's good advice, especially in relationships. If you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh, or else they'll kill you.
Hey, that's I'm good at that.
Yeah. Well, Marianne, thank you so much.
And I need to come and listen to you, Seth. I'll be honest with you, okay? Y'all, please have a good evening. And, Joey, thank you for putting up with me because I love you.
I love you too,
thank
Marianne.
You,
and I love
your
show.
No, thank
okay,
you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was sweet of her.
That made me think of, you know how people are nowadays. They're real sensitive and whatnot. You're not. You shouldn't be like that. You got to be tough, thick-skinned.
Don't be a wussy.
Yeah. Okay. Like this.
Namby-pamby.
My birthday was last week. Okay. So I go to my mom's house and I knock on the door and I'm gonna tell her about the birthday party. Invite her. Well, I knock on the door, and the dog starts barking, and I hear click. She blocked the door. You know, and it's great. It's funny. You know, she didn't want to talk to me. You know. So she didn't want to talk, so she just locked the door. It didn't hurt my feelings. It's okay. She just wasn't in the mood.
Wait, which birthday was this?
Oh, this was...
No, how old are you?
I'm 35.
That's maybe why. It's like you're 35. You're a grown man.
Well, I was just going by to invite her to the party.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
which
like,
is sweet of you.
Like,
but...
you know, and it's cool. It's funny. Ha, ha, ha. No biggie. I'm not going to cry over a little locked. Mom doesn't want to talk to me. She'll talk to me in a week.
Sometimes they don't want to.
And then the other day, my grandfather calls me. I'm like, sweet. He's going to call me, say happy birthday, rock and roll. Nope. Call me, make sure I'm not in jail. Grandpa's getting scammed. And
well, they're looking out for you.
They call and they're like, hey, your grandson's in jail in Florida. So they're more likely to think I'm in jail.
Well, it becomes tough love over the years.
Hey, it's cool. No
like,
biggie.
You grow up, and at first they're like, you're so full of potential. You're so full of hope, and you're so talented and smart and cute. I'm sure you're going to find a wonderful lover, which, thank God, they've never referred to it as that. Like, I can't imagine my aunts or uncles or mom or dad going, one day you'll find a wonderful lover. Ew. Lover.
You'll move to Verbena, and her name will be Wadawi.
But, and that goes on for a little while in your 20s, but as you start hitting where I'm at, like 29, 30, I'm sure you've experienced this. You're like, when are you going to get on with your life? This radio thing. You gotta. When are you gonna give it up and get a real job? Like, go back to school. Go learn to work with your hands. I already know how to work with my. I don't mean work with your hands in that way. Hands. And you know, they start looking at you funny. It's like, when the hell are you gonna grow up, kid? Because childhood has been extended, I think, a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, life's about working and hating job and just keep on working. Cause that's what you're supposed to do.
See, and I've been at two extremes, man. It gets down to, in most of the shows we've done, it's kind of personal chit-chat, what's going on in our lives, pop culture stuff, great music and movies, these sort of things. Mm. I go from that to what might be considered frivolous stuff, but I think frivolous things are very important.
Yes.
Maybe I don't know the definition of frivolous then. Anyway, then I jump to very important matters, things way beyond my control. There's an article that came out yesterday that it's under, I think, a pretty bad headline for what it actually goes into. It's by James Stavridis. He was the supreme commander of European forces, or allied forces. He's the head of NATO for a while. He ran U.S. European Command and Southern Command, four-star admiral. He's retired now. He's on the head of several boards and academia and whatnot. And it's called Low-Yield Nukes Are a Very High Threat, which, yeah, well, nuclear weapons are a threat. I get that. But in this piece written for Bloomberg, it's actually a very well-put-together survey of all the geopolitical threats that are out there. And he starts it off by saying there's a brilliant book tracing the origins of the First World War, The Sleepwalkers, How Europe Went to War in 1914. This is from a guy named Christopher Clark. The protagonists were sleepwalkers, watchful but unseeing, haunted by dreams yet blind to the reality of the horror they were about to bring into the world. And if you do put it in historical context, it was the richest the world had ever been. Classical liberalism had swept the world, at least the Western world, and the prosperity was never before seen in human history. There are even people talking about maybe we've become so prosperous and progressed so far that war's gone. And then the First World War happens. We sleepwalk into it, and it took 100 years, essentially, for us to get back to the same per capita basis.
Is that where we are now?
Yeah, we finally, I mean, we have better tech than we did in 1914, but just general wealth. How much wealth, how many lives were lost, millions and millions in that first war. And without that first war, you probably don't have Hitler in World War II. You don't have the decimation of Germany, at least the rise of Hitler. No, the Germans were crazy, too. They're the ones that brought us nationalism. Stavridis goes on to point out, are we sleepwalking into another possible war, but this time with nukes? And this is coming from the Munich Security Conference over last weekend. And, you know, he points out Lindsey Graham suggesting a European version of Guantanamo Bay to deal with terrorists coming out of Syria, or Benjamin Netanyahu holding up a piece of alleged Iranian drone in front of the Iranian foreign minister's face, going, recognize this? Like, it became almost cartoonish. And Stravitis goes through this and lays out all the particular hotspots, geopolitically speaking. In one paragraph, he goes into the details, but these are tactical disagreements to him. Great and medium-sized powers are increasingly at odds. The Eastern Mediterranean, around where Turkey is, and Africa and Southern Europe, the Eastern Mediterranean is full of U.S., Russian, Turkish, Israeli, Iranian, Syrian, and NATO member maritime patrols, with occasional forays from China, India, into what we now know is a hydrocarbon-rich corner of the world. Oh, crap. There's a lot of natural gas in the ocean, which means people might fight over it. The same is true, hydrocarbon-rich, in the South China Sea, where the U.S. and China are squaring off as China builds artificial islands and claims the vast bodies of waters as its own territory. And really, if you are a history buff on the United States, it's akin to the United States claiming the entire Gulf of Mexico. It's a lot of territory, but China's starting to feel its oats, like the United States did around the turn of the 20th century. Russia blithely interferes in the U.S. presidential election, and the West continues with strong sanctions on Moscow. The Arctic ice is melting, which is opening up rich shipping lanes, and there's this big tech race for, what is it, icebreaker rigs off, and the U.S. doesn't have one of them. China is developing their own infrastructure. It's called the One Belt, One Road Initiative, creating new ports, highways, dams, and other vast infrastructure projects across Asia, essentially connecting what one old geopolitical strategist labeled the world island. If you could connect all of Asia and have some maritime, some naval ability in, say, like the South China Sea, you'll run the world. The amount of people, the amount of resources. And so I just step back from all this, and what China's doing is sharp power. It's a blend of kind of hard military threat and soft power, which is economic aid and diplomatic overtures. And Russia is a failing empire, writes Stravitis, which is a truly dangerous entity. And if you look at history as well, anytime an empire is failing, like the Austro-Hungarian Empire at the beginning of the First World War. They're really a paper tiger. So I stepped back and I focused at the beginning of the show on domestic stuff. And I plan on probably having fun tomorrow night talking to Emily about South Sounds. And I'm going to continue to talk about sex and dating and religion and all the funny things that happen in our lives, like your mom shutting the door on you, just giving you the cold shoulder because you are a grown man. Your birthday, wonderful.
Well, no, it's cool.
But these topics are in the back of my mind. And check out this article by Admiral Stravitis. It is, again, called Low-Yield Nukes Are a Very High Threat, but it is about more than just nuclear weapons. Though the details about nuclear weapons within this are very unnerving. That people are moving towards tactical nukes again, which could mean that nations those weapons are fired at, you say you're firing a conventional weapon. It's still a big bomb, but it's a conventional bomb. But the enemy knows that you can also, from that same platform, say a submarine or a ship, fire tactical nukes. At that point, they have to make a decision. Is that a conventional bomb or is that a nuke? How do we respond in kind? Mm-hmm. You have strategies coming out of Russia called nuclear de-escalatory escalation. So say NATO gets too close to the Russian border. The idea is Russia will set off in the Arctic somewhere a big nuclear bomb, essentially saying, don't F with us. That's supposed to de-escalate the situation.
Like a warning nuke?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a way to do it.
Crazy times.
And like you're talking about in the beginning, you know, back in, what was it, 1912, when they were at the peak of prosperity?
Right.
You know, things just, you know.
We could sleepwalk into another thing, but at that time there weren't nukes.
Wow. Oof.
We now have nukes and a global economy and this thing called the internet, which has made our universal language or lingua franca essentially confusion. Like, so many people in their own little bubbles talking past one another. And so for me, it is about what are you doing to foster virtue in your own life? Have a little fun in your own life. That's, I think, the most important thing. But we should also, folks, have the ability to step back and have a grown-up discussion about some of the bigger trends going on, because I think these are the most important trends, and if you understand the world better and it doesn't sneak up on you, whether it is a tragic school shooting or a nuclear de-escalatory strike that is also escalatory, it's very confusing. When these things pop up, it's best not to be surprised, at least have some understanding so we can move forward with a clear mind. Clear vision.
I'm trying to learn something about it. Thanks, man. I picked a great time.
Yeah, I'm in a serious mood today.
Oh, no, it's great, man. I'm learning. Yeah. I always learn stuff from you.
Well,
I love hanging out.
We're going out with a song called Suzanne. It's off Roberta Flack's album, Killing Me Softly. This is just the instrumental part of a 9-minute song.
Wow. When music was music.
Oh, this is good stuff. So sit on back, relax, maybe put on some Roberta Flack, some Lady Day or John Coltrane. And enjoy life, even when serious things surround you. Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow night. Thank you.
Thank you.